about to get real spooky.
Hello everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of the Crackpot Podcast. I believe my name is Sam, and I think this gentleman across from me is...
Zach!
Shit, yeah, spot Zach, on. That nice guy. One, yeah, dude. Yeah, I remember. I've never forgotten. Today, we're doing our very first episode on the history of the CIA. And finally, after the last two episodes, drinking on my own, like some sort of horrible alcoholic father beating his children every week, finally... Zach's here with me, and we're both having a beer.
We're enjoying an Australian beer, but more than Australian, yeah. Queensland beer.
Oh.
Brewed in Stanthorpe like 6 months ago.
And more than a Queensland beer, we brewed it in this house.
It stinks in here. it's called it's from Brass Monkey Brew House, called a Tommy Hawk Stout, which is a moderate full-bodied stout. It's actually super pleasant. Like, when you talk about stouts, people are often like, oh, like, you drink that? Like, they think of Guinness and, like, really nasty,
yeah.
Like, thick
I'm not huge
drinks.
On Guinness, usually.
Yeah. And especially, like, this season, you don't really want to drink something that heavy, but this is, like, pretty pleasant.
Well, in relation to your Guinness comment, I went to Ireland a few years ago, and people are always like, it tastes so much better coming down the pipes in Ireland. And I was like, okay, I didn't really like it at first. Went to Ireland, tried it. It still tasted like fucking Vegemite on toast. Absolutely disgusting shit. I'm convinced it's just sewage. And they're just feeding it back to the people as a way of saving, you know, runoff and stuff like that.
Right.
When they say it's better through the pipes, they're talking about the fucking sewage pipes.
See, this is quite at odds with my experience of Guinness. I've definitely, at times, enjoyed a pint of Guinness.
At times.
At times.
Like, sometimes you're drinking like, this is the worst thing I've ever had. Other times you're like, this is great.
Yeah, I got a craving for a Guinness.
Fuck. I know, I don't understand. It honestly, to me, tastes like toast.
Sometimes just want something that tastes like a bit gross. Don't you ever just like feel like it?
No. Oh, no, that's not true. Because I guess you always have those moods where it's kind of like, fuck, I really want a big bucket of KFC chicken, even though I know it's the worst thing ever, and it's filled of oil, and it's going to make me feel like shit. I just want it.
You know what my thing like that is? Jalapeno poppers.
Oh, yeah, those are so good. So
they are like a death sentence for the toilet, but like, they're just so good.
They are really good. I know, that is right. Every time I have those, I think... You know, you think about tomorrow, the next day, you think about how sore your asshole's going to be, but how good your mouth's going to feel in the next few minutes.
It's
just
so good.
And you just go, it's going to be fine. That toilet I destroy, wherever it is, that's in the future. Right now, I'm having these poppers.
Yeah, that's future Sam's problem. Yeah. Right now, I'm having these poppers.
That's future Sam's asshole problem. So, this episode, like I said, we're just going to be going into a few of the early CIA operations. Some of the things that we think... relevant. We're not going to go into absolutely everything, because if we went into absolutely everything, this would take us a million years.
Yeah.
So we've gone through and picked out some things that we thought were kind of interesting, kind of funny, and kind of pertinent to overall what the CIA do, to give you an idea of what they're about. So the CIA started up in the late 1940s, specifically 1947, and it was initiated by President Truman when he signed in the National Security Act of 1947, which also basically allowed covert foreign operations, which, if you know anything about the CIA, you know that shit is their bread and butter.
Mm.
They love going overseas and either killing people or trying to kill important people.
Well, Truman did drop the nukes, right?
Yes.
So?
Or trying to interfere in foreign elections, which is sort of the first thing that I wanted to talk about, which is the 1948 Italian election. And we're going to go into that in our first segment.
Yeah.
So... If you don't go anywhere, if you go somewhere...
We'll know.
In the intro, we mentioned that one of the CIA's prime operations is interfering in foreign elections and political cycles. And one of their earliest forays into this was the 1948 Italian election. Now, for those that know years and things that happened in years, you may be familiar with a certain little thing that not many people have heard of called the Cold War. Have you heard of that?
Vaguely familiar.
Basically...
Happened in, I don't know, like, northern Russia.
Something... It had something to do with Russians, commies, America, and freedom, goddammit. That's
goddamn
all
right.
I need to know. Basically, it was sort of like an information war, almost. It wasn't so much an on-the-ground war. And it was like a nuclear race as well.
It was a lot of threats.
Yeah. It was just like saying, I have the best toys. No, I do. My nukes are bigger than your nukes.
It was the sort of thing that doesn't seem like, in hindsight, it's like, oh, well, no one really, there was no major casualties. And it's like, nukes weren't dropped.
But really,
it was like quite close to like a nuclear apocalypse, pretty much.
We still have the ramifications of that today with the number of nuclear arms that a lot of countries still hold.
Oh, it's immense.
Like, if you look at Russia and America, even though the Cold War was, what, you know, late, you know, 1940s, 1950s, they still have massive stockpiles of nuclear weaponry.
Well, it's sort of like the war that didn't end, right?
Yeah.
Like, you say, like, oh, it ended when, like, the Soviet bloc failed and Yugoslavia broke apart and yada, yada, yada. But, like, not really. Mm-mm. There wasn't just like a... I guess that's like the issue with war now, is that they don't really start, they don't really end. It's sort of like this festering thing. That's what it's been like since the end of World War II, pretty much.
It's just been a cancer in the Middle East, constantly growing. So, during this Cold War period, obviously America was very anti-communism. And they saw communism as this tumor that could grow across the world, which is, in truth, sort of what it wanted.
Yeah.
Communism did want to spread. It saw itself as sort of the fix to capitalism.
It wasn't like an organized spreading though, really.
No, but it was certainly...
Like, it was like an ideas were like rapidly moving across the world, which like justify other wars like the Vietnam War, the Korean War, or like, oh, got to keep the commies at bay.
Exactly.
This will be our justification for jumping in, because if we don't stop it here, the commies it'll be here on our land.
Yeah, exactly. And to be fair, it was spreading, and it was becoming pretty popular.
Totally.
And there are certain dangerous facets of it. So, when the CIA was created in 47, in 48, they decided, look, Italy, very important to us in the Cold War and the sort of what's going on with Russia and communism. We can't let the commies take Italy.
So especially because it was such like a rebuilding time, right? Like, it's just after the end of World War II, there's a lot of like... This would be a very like influential election.
Exactly. It'll,
like, dictate the pace of Italy for decades
Italy
to come.
Italy were being fuckheads during World War II anyway.
Yeah.
So they really needed to have a slap on the wrist. So they needed to just mind control them a little bit. So basically what they did was they really wanted to ensure that the commies did not win in Italy. They wanted either a center or a center right, or even like a far right leaning, you know, fascist.
Yeah.
Political group to get in. So what they did, I've got a quote here from a CIA operative. We had bags of money that we delivered to selected politicians to defray their political expenses, their campaign expenses, for posters, for pamphlets. So pretty much anything that they could need money for, they gave it to them. And I think money, you know, numbers wise, it was between 10 and 20 million spent alone in just the 1948 election on trying to get these politicians in.
Yeah, and keep in mind, this is like 70 years ago, where $10 to $20 million is a lot more than $10 to $20 million now.
When you think about when your grandpa's like, back in my day, I could buy a fucking prostitute for $2. That's inflation.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about 10 to 20 million in 48.
We don't know what it is adjusted, right? But it's probably like a billion is probably minimum.
It'd be a fuckload of money that they've put in. And it wasn't just money. They also went out of their way to make... they wrote all these like 10 million letters that were handed out to the Italian people. They made radio broadcasts and books. So they were doing pretty much everything in their power to get the Italian people to vote for a center or a right-leaning party. And it worked.
Yeah.
It happened. They got a centrist party elected instead of the... Socialist Party that was running, who were pretty popular, to be fair.
So it works, I guess. The CIA is not just...
It worked, and it worked so well that they said, hey, you know, you can't stop at one.
No.
And they did it. They did this in the Italian elections. It is known that every Italian election for the next 24 years was interfered with by the CIA, continually bankrolling these politicians, continually assisting in, like, making radio broadcast letters, da-da-da-da-da. They did it for 24 years.
So do we know how this was, like, revealed? Like, how did we know this information?
Basically just through declassification.
Right, okay.
So, as many people know, as time goes by, more often than not, organizations like the CIA and FBI will occasionally declassify things because it's sort of so far gone in the past.
That's just what they want us to know.
Oh, no, almost certainly.
Yeah.
Because they'll leave certain things, you know...
Classified forever
if they can. Like MK Ultra.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff to do with that was just fucking destroyed.
Yeah.
Because they don't, obviously, want that information out.
Yeah.
But these sort of things, I guess, it gets to a certain point where they think, yeah, okay, well, you know, it's fine if the people know that we completely interfered in elections for 24 years. Yeah.
It's like no one in the CIA now was working then. It's just like, whatever. We've done bad things in the past. We're not doing it anymore.
We're new people, guys. Yeah,
we're past
We've
that.
Never interfered in anything. We've not in the last
20
one
minutes?
Month. Yeah. Exactly. And I thought this topic was particularly sort of relevant to today because there's obviously all these new topics and news stories at the moment of
Russian meddling.
That's right.
Yeah.
Interference in elections. And I mean, obviously it does happen, but I think a lot of people are a bit foolish in thinking that, you know, Russia interfering in an election is not commonplace.
Yeah, like it's unprecedented.
In the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. People are acting as if this is the only time any interference has ever happened. When, you know, even in the Obama administration, Obama was going to other countries and, you know, specifically advocating for certain leaders, stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like,
it's the same.
Countries do this all the time because they have interest in certain other countries having certain leaders
elected. Of course.
Elected.
Especially in like a more globalized world where you're constantly dealing with every other country.
Exactly. Why would you want another country to have someone elected that you don't like?
Yeah.
You just get your best friends in.
Yeah.
And then you all can have a little circle.
You scratch my
and
back.
Fuck everyone over.
Yeah, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Exactly. So the next segment we're going into is about Operation Mockingbird,
ooh,
which is the CIA sort of meddling with the journalism in America. And I've actually managed to find a link to the assassination of JFK.
Do you ever wonder if, like, all conspiracies can be, like, connected to each other?
In some way?
Yeah, you know, there's, like, the rule of, what is it, like how everyone's 2 degrees of separation away from someone? Do you feel like all conspiracies are like
definitely
two people away from a new conspiracy?
Almost certainly. You can, and that's, I think that's why a lot of them are so popular, is because you can find those little lines that link them with people of interest that are involved in other things, which is exactly what we've got in this next segment. So don't go anywhere. If you want to find out how Operation Mockingbird is linked to the alleged assassination, I better be careful, of JFK.
Now's the time to start worrying about defamation, isn't it, Sam?
We'll see you in a bit, boys.
So Operation Mockingbird is about the CIA influencing American news publications. Is that right,
That's
Sam?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So it was during the 50s, again, in sort of Cold War era.
Yeah.
We're talking about the early CIA stuff. And a lot of their early work had to do with commies and the Cold War. So basically, what was going on at the time in the 50s, there was an organization called the International Organization of Journalists.
Which sounds pretty harmless.
Sounds fine. Sounds just like a International Organization of Journalists.
But
they were a bunch of commie fucks.
Oh, no.
And basically, they were the BuzzFeed of the 50s. It was a large, spanning organization over multiple countries and continents that was full of communists and trying to basically get communist propaganda into journalism, into countries to try and spread the word.
It's pretty funny, though, that you compare this to BuzzFeed, because I'm sure these people were talking of things like oppressors and, like, wealth distribution.
Yeah.
Same thing as today, really.
Very similar. I wouldn't be surprised. Next episode, BuzzFeed commies and how they're linked to Stalin. How BuzzFeed is responsible for the death of 60 million people. So basically, to combat this organization, the CIA decided they were going to recruit some boys of their own. And one of the main people they went to was Phil Graham, who was the co-owner of the Washington Post. Interesting little bit of tidbit of information. Phil Graham suicided himself.
So when we say the term suicide, we mean like it was declared a suicide, but someone did it to him.
But it's very possible that he may have been suicided by someone else.
It's a suicide only in that it was declared a suicide.
So this man, I do know he had like mental health issues and stuff like that, so it is very possible that it was genuine, but it's just with a lot of these sort of CIA things, people kill themselves a lot.
It seems to happen on the reg.
So this gentleman, they recruited him, co-owner of Washington Post, absolutely massive
that's a big wig,
And because he had such a big journalism dick, he also had lots of other journalist organizations in his pocket, like the New York Times, Newsweek, CBS, and I think Time Magazine as well.
Really?
Yes. Were all pulled into this operation by the CIA. And basically what they did was, is either knowing journalists that knew they were sort of a part of this op or unknowing, they gave them reports that would then be reported on by the journalists
right
from the CIA.
Yeah.
So basically they were feeding them stories to put out there to sort of battle the communist propaganda. They'd be putting out anti-communist stuff, basically. And we're back. So the computer I was recording on just decided to shit itself. So in crackpod fucking tradition at this point, we're taking a downgrade in audio quality for the rest of the episode.
It's part of the show now.
We have not gone one episode without some sort of audio fuck up.
Maybe we're like, when we get famous and really rich, we can have like really fancy mics, and then we'll just have one episode where every 2 minutes we downgrade mics, and then at the end it's just like the first flip phone that had a microphone.
Like some sort of Nokia fucking thing. Look, okay, so we're going to jump back into it. We were talking about Operation Mockingbird, and the CIA sort of hand-picking information, giving it to reporters to report on. And what I was about to mention was that I'm eyeing Zach's graduation robes right now, and I believe you have a relevant degree.
I have a journalism degree, that's correct.
Oh, wow. So when are you starting at BuzzFeed?
I've already been working there 3 or 4 years now.
Oh, wow, that's
fantastic.
Turns
out you don't need a journalism degree to work
there.
High school certificate, go to school at all.
Childcare certificate. None of that. No, just basically straight out of the womb, you could probably work at BuzzFeed.
Pretty much.
Yeah, they're all a bunch of crying babies anyway. Owned the libs.
Wrecked.
With facts and logic.
Okay, this is epic.
Anyway, so what is this? Is this something that does happen in journalism? Are people like regularly handed information by government bodies to report on?
So I don't really know how good the peak of journalism was, right? I don't really know how like truthful and how their resources were, all that. But I'll tell you, it is getting worse.
Oh yeah.
And like funds are being cut and staff are being cut, and more people are relying on lazy journalism. And one good example of this, actually, because I have a science degree as well, is in science journalism, where people think, like, oh, it's really, like, glamorous industry, and you get to, like, report on new findings, and, you know, like, oh my god, we've detected, like, gravitational waves from, like, colliding black holes or whatever, right? That's not what science journalism is. Like, it's more, oh, like, we'll fly you out to our lab, we'll treat you to a 5-star hotel, 5-star dinners, yada, yada, yada.
Hookers, cocaine, anything you want, donuts. Yeah.
You name it. A little bit of kombucha, whatever you want. And then they're like, oh, by the way, like, come to our lab, check out the product.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, if you'd like to write a story about it, like, you know, here it is. Oh, actually, we've actually already written the story.
Here's one we prepared earlier.
Yeah, would you like to publish this under your name? And it's like, oh, yeah, that's easy. And then, you know, you take it back to their magazine, like, cool, this is the story I wrote. And like, wow. This is such good journalism. Yeah. It's just an advertisement.
My integrity is so large and intact, just like my girlfriend's hymen.
The thing is, it is such an easy gig.
Yeah, right?
Sounds
like
in that position, I'd probably do it.
So you have no integrity, is what you're saying?
Well, I wouldn't apply for the job. I wouldn't go into that field. But if someone was like, oh, people just want to buy some magazine and you flogging advertisements that look like science discoveries, I'd be like, yeah, whatever.
Like, hell yeah, sign me up.
Yeah. It's a sweet gig.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be pretty cruisy, to be honest. So, I guess, and it makes sense that sort of stuff would happen, but this is a whole nother level. This is a secret organization getting in there, and it's not like, oh, you know, this is the new Hadron Collider, whatever the fuck. This is propaganda, essentially.
Yeah. This is definitely worse, and like of a different variety, because they're not just trying to sell you something, they're trying to like seriously influence geopolitics,
like the public's opinion. And in addition to this, they were actually also wiretapping journalists that they thought their sources might be a bit questionable.
Yeah.
And that was under the direction of Robert F. Kennedy.
Mm.
And speaking of the Kennedys, I promised a connection to the JFK assassination, and I fucking got one here for you. So, come 1951, Operation Mockingbird was being overseen by a man named Claude Meyer.
Strange name.
Interesting name. Hard to miss when you know the name. And those of you who are familiar out on here with the fact that the CIA killed JFK, allegedly, would be...
the alleged fact.
The alleged fact that they fucking murdered him in cold blood, allegedly, would be familiar with Claude Meyer. This is one of the men who was fingered by E. Howard Hunt, who was a very large, prominent CIA operative. We're talking like Bay of Pigs sort
very
of shit.
Very large.
Very big. Very huge.
And a lot of mass.
Yeah. And Cord Meyer was one of the people that was said to have been involved in some way with the assassination of JFK. Now, even deeper than that, his ex-wife, Mary Pinochet?
Pinchot.
Okay, so we're not getting the helicopters out.
No, not yet.
Mary Pinchot had allegedly had a romantic relationship with JFK, obviously prior to his death. She's not a necrophiliac. Mary was killed walking home with her groceries in a yet-to-be-solved murder case. She was just randomly murdered, shot in the head, point-blank execution style, by... apparently a robber.
Is this one of the murders where they're like, oh, she was robbed and then her like wallet's still full of cash?
Yeah, pretty
one
of those much. Ones? And she was like shot in the back of the head.
Yeah, so, right.
But the really interesting thing about her murder was that hours before the police had even identified the body, Cord Meyer and Mary's, I believe it was her brother-in-law, were called to be informed that she was killed by a CIA operative.
Before her body was identified.
Before her body was identified by the police. A CIA operative called her family members and said she has been murdered.
Well.
So that's a covered. That's why I wrote in capital letters on this document, the CIA killed JFK.
Allegedly. That's
why, allegedly. I didn't put that in, but I probably should say that. Look. And also, the CIA was also wiretapping her before she died.
Wiretapping her before she died?
Yes.
Okay, that's just like the last nail in an already nail-filled coffin.
That coffin has so many fucking nails in it.
This bad boy fits so many nails in it.
Why can't I hold all these nails? No, she was most likely killed by the CIA for possibly being linked to JFK assassination? Maybe. Just for random, because they like killing people? That's also possible, because they do that.
Let's get off on it.
They do just kill a lot of people. So that was Operation Mockingbird, and as promised, the connection with the JFK assassination. I think we can all agree that secret government bodies getting involved in political fucking agendas is pretty bad.
And also pretty commonplace.
It is pretty commonplace. Yeah. It happens. It still happens now. Like, yeah. If you think that... I mean, just look at during the 2016 election, how the DNC was really heavily involved with some... I think actually the Washington Post... Yeah. Was actually one of the, which is super interesting because here they were one of the conspirators, sort of more for maybe right leaning values, I'd say at the time. But now they're being sort of used for as more of a left, sort of think piece or mouthpiece.
They're just made useful, whatever the time calls for.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a bit dodgy, isn't it? They'll pretty much do anything for fucking money.
Yeah.
So that was the CIA getting involved in journalism. Now next, we've got a brand new segment of the show that we want to introduce. Zach, do you want to? What tell the people?
So we usually talk about conspiracies that we've basically found online,
yeah,
right?
Pretty much.
We've got like quite a knowledge of a variety of conspiracies already, and then we discuss at the end of the show like which one we do next week.
Yeah.
But one thing I've always been interested in is talking about conspiracies that we've made up.
Yeah. Right. Homegrown.
Either Sam or I, or maybe someone we know, a family member, and. Because Sam mentioned to me the other day that he was like, oh, do you want to do something like this? And I was like, funny you mention that because my dad has theories, right?
Yeah.
I have some as well, but dad's was just like the one that was brought up that day. And I want to talk about that one today. So you might already know a little bit about this. Mm. Do you want to run into it straight now?
We'll go into it in the next segment, I think.
Okay, sounds good.
We're going to take a break now. We're going to turn the fan on. It's fucking hot in here. My balls are sweating through my pants onto your chair. I'm so sorry.
That's
all
right.
This chair is soaked. I need a break. Let's turn the fan on. But when we come back, we're going to be going into a crazy conspiracy from one of Zach's family members.
Ooh.
I'm going to see how I feel about it. Don't go anywhere. Stay sweaty. See you soon.
So we were talking a bit before about journalists being influenced by governments, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But my dad the other day came up with sort of a related theory about the radio specifically. So the radio is like a pretty dated... form of media.
I guess so. In sort of the modern day with Spotify.
Everything's on demand.
Streaming services and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like radio sort of lingering. Mm. But you still listen to it in the car, right?
Yeah.
That's probably like the only time you would listen to the radio.
That's the only time I would if I were to, yeah.
Yeah. I think still radio is still kind of popular in like those morning shows like between 6 and 9 in the morning.
Yeah, that's true. People have like presenters that they like. Like that's would be the main... probably the draw factor these days.
So that's like your window for grabbing people, right, on the radio. That's like your one time you've really got people listening.
Yeah.
Except for like the kooks who stay up all hours of the night listening to community radio.
Yeah, like talk blasting and stuff like that.
Yeah, like the same like droning beats for like 4 hours. You're like, I love this song.
Fuck, I love ecstasy.
So, my dad's theory is that traffic in the cities is kept bad. Like, they intentionally don't fix congestion issues.
Yeah.
So that people are forced to listen to the radio for longer in the mornings. Because that's their window for, like, delivering propaganda to you over the radio.
Oh, shit. So this is directly linked with our CIA interference thing, then.
Yeah, totally.
So your dad thinks there's bad traffic specifically because the government refuses to fix congestion so that people listen to the radio.
Yes.
In the mornings. And in the afternoons, I'm assuming.
And in the afternoons as well.
So it has... So what, are traffic lights involved in this too?
Well, I'd say so, yeah.
So it's like not enough lanes and roads is so that people will listen to the radio.
Yes.
What sort of propaganda is 106.9 blasting to me, aside from shitty Nicki Minaj music?
I think it's just mind-numbing. You know when you, like, watch a really shitty reality TV show, or you laugh at Vines, and you feel dumber after laughing at them?
Yeah,
I think
no,
when
I
you start singing along to Nicki Minaj songs, your brain is rotting inside your mind.
Yeah, are you saying that Nicki Minaj could also be controlled by the government?
Maybe not controlled, but maybe, like, her music is pushed.
It's used as a tool to, like, turn people's mind to mush.
Into mush.
I hope we don't have any listeners that are big on Nicki Minaj. But if you are, you should stop. It's bad.
Turn that shit off.
It's bad music.
Yeah.
And it's rotting your brain.
Well, the reason that I sort of remembered this theory and why I'm more taken by it now.
Do you believe it?
Well, don't believe it exactly.
But
it's not a terrible theory.
Okay.
It's because, you know how Triple J, it all just sounds the same? There's like a Triple J sound.
Yeah, and it's like hypnotic. Is that what you're getting at?
And it's like, well, if a radio station has an entire, like, genre, which sounds like a Triple J song, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then that music could be used to put you in a particular state, which makes you more
suggestible.
Suggestible.
To what they're saying on the radio. So it could be 1 minute you're listening to Nicki Minaj, and the next minute the radio presenters are going, kill all Jews.
Or just buy this Dyson vacuum cleaner, right?
Oh, so we're talking about from... Oh, okay. I'm coming at it from a different angle.
Yeah. It could be like whatever race they want you to hear.
Race war now. And then you get
gamers, rise up.
Rise up. And then you get to work and you're like, I love that Nicki Minaj song.
Yeah, really quite
and in
a
the
banger.
Back of your mind, it's like, race war.
Well, I think maybe different music and different like radio themes could put you in a more suggestible state for different things.
Yeah.
Like, obviously like Nova and shit, they're trying to sell you stuff.
Yeah. I would agree that they do try and sell you things. And I would also agree that there happens to be traffic in the morning.
Yes.
Those 2 points, I agree with you on.
And the music is a bit shit.
Yeah, and the music is a bit shit.
Yeah.
Those 3 points you
But not
you
just
have
bad music, like, sort of like that mind-numbing music.
I don't know. I get that maybe a radio station would want to put you into a certain mood.
Mm.
Like, I agree with that.
Yes.
But the government...
the traffic thing?
The government being involved to the point where they're colluding with Nova 106.9...
Well,
to sell you vacuum cleaners.
Right. Well, I think that maybe it's not directly related to the radio thing, but I think there's an incentive for the government to reduce your free time. Right? If it takes you an hour and a half to get to work in the morning instead of 20 minutes, that's better because you're more occupied with shit you have to do.
Yeah, right.
And less time to, like, consider,
to overthrow
like,
the government.
Should I quit my job and get on the dole?
Oh, do I hate the government?
It's like... Do I want to leave Australia? Like, all these things that are, like, potentially threatening. It's like, we'll just try and keep you busy.
Yeah, so we'll keep you in traffic on the way to work.
Yeah.
And that's why
you think, like, most people work, really, 9 hours a day.
Yeah.
Right? More than an hour to get there sometimes.
Mm. Mm.
All the wake-up stuff, getting breakfast, showering.
Yeah.
You've got a couple hours in the evening to relax.
And you're tired.
And you're fucked.
At that point,
right?
too.
At that point, you're fucked. They want you to be tired.
You're not having any higher brain functions.
They want you to be tired and watching the block. Right? They don't
like,
you...
oh, fuck. I can't believe they did that to Katie. I can't believe that. She did such a good job on the roof tiling. Fuck.
Anyway, back to bed.
Yeah. Anyway.
Do it all again tomorrow.
And then you lay down in bed and you're thinking about the block and it's just like, Like, race war. Race war.
Race war. Rock around the block. So, I don't know about, like, the radio thing specifically, but definitely they want, there's an incentive to keep your mind focused on specific things.
Useless things like The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Like The Block. Like Nicki Minaj.
That shit. You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Race
war. Race war.
Race war. I watch those things all the time.
Yeah.
Look, I like your dad's theory. I think it's got some kernel of truth to it in the sense that I think a lot of things are made to be benign. And to be benign for you to enjoy them and to put you in a sense of just fucking vegging out and watching it. But the government being involved is a step too far for me. Because I don't think the government is competent enough to pull off something like that. It's sort of like that saying how it's like, never attribute to malice what could be equally attributed to stupidity.
Yeah.
Which is Hanlon's razor, I think.
Mm.
And I think that's more so, the government not fixing the roads is just because they fucking suck. Because people hate the government for not fixing the road, right? So that's why would true. They bother leaving the roads shit if people hate them for it?
But then if neither party pledges to fix the roads, or actually fixes the roads, then all you have is people talking about the roads. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then at least all the conversation is
about, it's just roads.
Fix the roads, energy prices, right? Instead of like, oh, maybe we should elect this party, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's very focused. It's not the big issues.
Yeah.
No, I see what you're getting at. I like it. I like your dad's theory.
I think there's something there.
I think it's insane. Absolutely.
I think your dad is nuts.
I think he's... I'm really scared and I don't want to leave this room because I think your dad might be out there with a gun. But I think it was an interesting theory. I'm glad you've shared it with me and the rest of the world now.
I have more.
Oh, God.
We'll save it for next time.
We'll have even better ones for next time. Yeah. And speaking of next time, I think we should bring this bad boy to a close.
Yeah.
I've had a good time talking about some early CIA stuff, and I know for a fact that next CIA episode we do, we really want to talk about MKUltra.
Ooh.
Which is, if you want to talk about brainwashing and mind control, MKUltra is a go-to.
Yeah.
This was, again, sort of sticking with our timeline, this was early 50s stuff that the CIA was doing. We're not sure when we'll do the next CIA episode, whenever the fuck we next run out of ideas.
I think we'll take a break from it for a couple eps.
Yeah, for a few episodes. We'll come back to it and we'll do MKUltra, and that'll be a really big one.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to do that, and it'll probably take a little extra research as well.
Yeah, for sure.
A little more than the hour that we do right before the show.
We're busy men, Sam. I'm unemployed, I don't go to uni.
I'm complaining about roads all the time, thinking about race war, I mean the block.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, but for next episode, we've got a great idea. We had an acronym, didn't we? Oh, not an acronym, a bit of alliteration. Modern
mythical monsters.
Modern mythical monsters. So I think it would be really fun to go over things like Bigfoot, a bit of Loch Ness,
yeah,
a bit of the Sasquatch, which I think is the same thing as Bigfoot, but a different hemisphere?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's right.
I'm really keen to go over all these things because there's a bunch of crazy fuckheads that think it's all real. So I'm really keen to jump into it all and just go over all the crazy shit.
Yeah, I'm in.
Excellent. We'll see you all on the next episode. Hope you enjoyed this one, despite the cursed audio issues that we always fucking have. Oh, well. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to like, favorite, and subscribe.
And also, let us know if you find Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah. If you see Bigfoot roaming around, just let us know. And it's not like just like a hairy dude. It's got to be full-on monster. Also, yeah. send in your like Bigfoot fanfic. If it's really good, I'll read it out. I'll read it out on the show. That could be a new segment as well. We do like fan fiction. That could be a lot of fun. A Bigfoot's big hairy dongus. Send that in. All right,
we're
guys.
We're not doing that section.
We'll see you guys next week. Oh, I always say next week.
Yeah, I know.
We'll see you guys next episode. Next time. Bye-bye.
It's about to get real spooky.
Cut that out.
Okay.